All right. Before, like a couple days before life, five girls went down. Was it five? Six? Okay. Six girls went down to Phoenix before, and they did a pre-life missions trip. And they're going to give us a report. So, here you go.
Hi. My name is Amy Kearns, and we're going to talk what we did. First of all, I went to Mexico last year, and I realized that there are people out there that need help. And then when we got to the Indian reservation and we were driving around, it's just desert. There's absolutely nothing there. And then when you see their houses, it looked sort of like it did in Mexico, just the rundown, like trailers and whatnot. And I started to think, oh, you know, just like last year, it's a shame that their country can't do something. And then I thought, well, this is our country. You know, they live here too. And it made me realize that missions just isn't in some country way far away. It's everywhere. Because then I got to thinking, well, we're the richest country. Why can't we help them? But there's such a sense of hopelessness amongst them. Like, we were cleaning, and they think that when you clean, it's stupid to clean because the dust just keeps pouring back in because it's just sand and dirt and all kinds of other stuff. And it just made me think that you always think missions is way out there, and it's really not. It's right here. But a lot of times I also think that, like, the only thing you do on missions trip is physical work, but this missions trip focused more on relationships. In fact, we only did actually one day of work, and I thought that that'd be the only day we actually made an impact. But the first day, Monday, we went around and we prayed and encouraged and sang with the pastors. And the first lady, the wife of the pastor, cried because she just went blind from a stroke. And it showed that there was more of a spiritual aspect on this than there was actually doing the physical part of it. And it was kind of weird because, I don't know, it was weird to watch her cry and realize that we could have come and cleaned her house and done, you know, helped them out, and they would have appreciated it. But I think in the long run, they appreciate that longer. But now, Miriam's turn.
In case you guys are wondering, yes, there were six. Yes, there's only four of us here. Tiffany Barnhart and Stacy Nelson were the other two who went along with us, and they had other commitments that they weren't able to be here tonight. So if you're trying to count six out of the four of us, don't worry, it's okay. As Amy mentioned, the first full day that we were there in Arizona, we took some time to go out to a reservation and do some cleanup work around a church. It was the Lehigh Nazarene Church, I believe it was. We were also joined by a youth group from Ohio, and so there were about 25 or 30 of us who went to this church. When we first got there, we gave the pastor and his wife a gift as a gift of encouragement, and we also sang to them, just sang some worship songs. Thankfully, the youth pastor of the other group was able to play piano, and he regularly, I guess, leads worship. I don't know if just in their church or in their youth group, but we were able to sing and praise the Lord that way. And then we also had a time where we gathered around the pastor and his wife and prayed for them. And that was a wonderful time to be able to encourage them. Their son just recently moved to, I believe it was somewhere in Colorado, to go to a blind school. He is blind, and he's probably in his 20s, early 20s.
18.
He's 18, okay. And he is there to learn just how to make it in the world on his own, being a blind person. He also does many things in music, and it was amazing to hear them talk of his talents and abilities. He's recorded a couple of CDs, and so it was nice for the pastor and his wife to be able to share with us about their pride of their son, and also to share some concerns about their grandsons that they also take care of. When we actually started into the cleaning, there were several different projects that were done. We did just do some general vacuuming and dusting and mopping floors and cleaning off tables and shaking out curtains that were really dusty. also cleaned up, some of the braver souls cleaned up brush out around the church, so they were out in the Arizona sun. It was rather warm, but they were able to do some of that work. There were also some people who were able to put a new vanity and sink into the men's bathroom, and they were able to help repair a toilet in the ladies' bathroom and just do all kinds of general maintenance work that needed to be done. And as Amy said, it was a challenge to work there because of the hopelessness that we know that they feel. We came in and we did this for them, but we know that, you know, they may look at it as, who cares? The dirt's going to flow back in tomorrow. It's not going to matter anymore. But we know that God had us there to have that time to be able to clean up and just say, even though this dirt may come back in by next week, we still love you and we still want to do this for you.
After we worked very, very hard on Saturday, we rested up and went to church on Sunday. We visited, I believe it was another Nazarene church. It's interesting because it was in one way like a third world country. Once we went into the reservations, denomination names did not matter because we were all brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, they called each other brother and sister Becky and Joe. I just thought that was pretty cool because we don't do that around here. So we traveled with a missionary to a church located about an hour from the center where we were staying. As soon as we got to that building, I was struck by how friendly the people were. The ladies who greeted us seemed really, really happy to meet some more sisters in Christ all the way from Pennsylvania. The church building was tiny, probably, what do you guys think, about a quarter the size of the sanctuary? It was really small, but it was really well maintained, very clean, and had nice padded carpeting we admired. We later learned, or at least I tried to figure it out, you know how we have padded carpeting in the nursery? Well, throughout the service, there are these adorable three-year-old kids running around, so they must have planned ahead, knowing they'd have three-year-old kids running around to have padded carpeting in case they fell, which they did often. Anyway, our group made up about half the Sunday school service, which was taught by a really neat, vibrant Christian woman. By the time the pastor came to the service, the little room was about a quarter of the way full, probably only, including us, 10 or 15 people. But as our missionary guide had predicted, by the end of the service, only a few seats were left. It was almost completely packed. The Native Americans definitely look at time differently than we do. We do, okay, church service starts at 6 o'clock p.m. Be there or be late, which is embarrassing for some of us. And then there are people, the Native Americans, who everything in a hot climate tends to run slower. And so the church service, I think, started around 9:45, but I'm not too sure because it kind of blended together. And I heard that our pastor, who was, I believe, a Cherokee Indian, was a short pastor, as in he preached only for about 45 minutes. Our Ohio friends went to a church where they were at that church for about 3 hours. The preaching lasted for an hour and a half. They were exhausted. You learn patience really fast. Another thing that was really slow was the singing. It was really strange because at first someone had told me this, but I couldn't really believe it. They sing all their hymns really slow, all six stanzas. And for me, I like fast songs, upbeat choruses, go through Amazing Grace, all four verses in 6 minutes. That was horrible. But by the end, I realized you're still praising God with your brothers and sisters in Christ. In the end, it was a great experience going to that church, a wonderful cultural experience. We met more brothers and sisters in Christ. The only strange thing was we were called pale faces, and I thought that was very interesting because we never thought of it that way. It was all in good humor, but it was just a great experience, and I'd love to go back to that church and meet their friendly people again.
The first day that we were there, when we arrived, the missionary picked us up at the airport, not the hospital, and took us back to the mission where we were staying, and we had lunch and got to talk with them, and then we did one of my favorite things. We went to Walmart and went on a shopping spree. We were on a mission to buy encouragement packages for 7 different families, and they were pastors of different churches around the reservation. And we got these laundry baskets that were about this big, and we just filled them. And we got non-perishable foods and cleaning supplies and baking supplies and office supplies. We just spent so much time and so much money thinking about all the stuff that we wanted to buy them, and we really had an awesome experience going and being able to buy those care packages. The following days, we spent delivering these care packages. Some of them were delivered on Sunday, and the others were delivered Monday when we went around the reservation. And to be able to walk into a pastor's home and just say, here, we brought this for you because we love you, and you're our brothers and sisters in Christ, was an amazing experience. To see their faces just kind of go blank, like they're saying, why are you doing this? It was just very awesome. The one thing about the churches down there is that even though it was the Church of the Nazarene or different various denominations, it's all the same, like Amanda said. They're all just brothers and sisters in Christ, and none of these churches get support from their denominations. If you go into the city of Phoenix and ask someone from the Nazarene Church, so what about the church on the reservation? They don't know what you're talking about. They don't know that there's a church of the Nazarene Church on the reservation. There's absolutely no support given to them, which is another reason why we set out to take prayer and encouragement to these pastors, because they are supporting their churches and their ministry on their own. And then we got to, after we delivered the packages and we told them why we were there, we got to sit down and talk with them and just ask them for any prayer requests they had, anything that we could help them with or just pray for them for. And then we got to actually sit down and pray with them. And it was really neat because you could feel the Holy Spirit just there among us. And then one of the other things that we did was sing a couple choruses with them or sing a couple hymns. So right now we're going to sing one of our favorite hymns that we made sure we sang at every house. We're going to sing the first stanza for Amazing Grace. The first house we went to, we sang a couple choruses and then we sang Amazing Grace. And the woman had just gone blind from a stroke, and it really touched her, and she really appreciated us being there. And you could just tell through Amazing Grace that it really was Amazing Grace, that people were there helping them. So we're just going to sing Amazing Grace.